A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. We get tweets at Beating the Book talking about the Manziel doc, The Truth 1980. I watched the Johnny Football doc and never knew that they lied about his family having oil money. And did I miss the reason him and his best friend haven't spoken for 10 years? You were saying wide off air that the lie about the oil money was something that surprised you as well.
That was one that I believed when I was in college.
At the time.
I was like, oh, yeah, he's from Texas, oil money, rich. Like, okay.
That's also a great comment about the him and the best friend. By the way, spoiler alerts on all this, so I apologize, but you'll still enjoy the documentary. It's not like the story, you're largely still familiar with the story, but that was a very strange sidebar as well, where like they weren't mature enough, even though they separated business-wise, like they weren't mature enough to still remain in communication. It didn't make sense. They never talked again, he and his best friend. Scotty B726, Johnny Football Untold Story was excellent. My son's an Aggie, and my friend's son is Eric Burkhart. Found it very interesting. Mitch Moss voice cameo was excellent, too. I didn't catch the Mitch Moss voice cameo. They must have used his voice as part of the montage when they were talking about certain elements of it. But the Eric Burkhart part is great to seize on, because in many ways, Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel's former agent, was almost the star of it all, because he, in great detail, explained how they tried to circumvent the drug testing during the combine and the run-up to the draft. It was fascinating.
So, obviously, spoilers here, but they've also been on Twitter, so it's not really that much of a spoiler.
Yeah.
My favorite part is that his agent, and I can't remember who else was running routes during his pro day.
Yes.
Like, hey, man, go run this go route. Dude, I run a 5.5. What do you want me to do?
Oh, there's so much, man. There's so much in there. And then Trust the Glove. We'll just read one more here. It said, did not watch. It probably won't. My bias and my experience with the disease, happily sober, suggests that no man is stronger than the substances. Bad stuff follows each day. It's a horrible existence, money or not. See, Trust the Glove has what I was talking about is the other reaction to it, which is, I don't know. Maybe we all had this wrong. Maybe he deserves grace. Maybe we can't possibly imagine what was going on in his mind. I lied. One more. Joey B. Couldn't agree more with your take on Johnny Football's father. What a scumbag, he said. Throw that in the mix. Fascinating. I recommend it tremendously. If you have more comments, we'll just sort of throw them in through the show. By the way, one football note this morning. The Colts have announced that Anthony Richardson, in fact, will be their QB1. Anthony Richardson will start the regular season as the Colts starting quarterback. He was always a favorite to be the starter. Obviously, Gardner Minshew lurking in the wings. But Anthony Richard made official now in Indianapolis as QB1. Obviously, Bryce Young is going to be QB1 in Carolina. The question becomes, will C.J. Stroud be QB1 in Houston? I'm not 1,000% sure about that. With Davis Mills having a great game this past week and Stroud really struggling, obviously the offensive line did him no favors. But
I was going to say, if I'm C.J. Stroud, you better improve that offensive line, because I don't want to be out there.
Yeah, but Mills did well. Same line, you know, so... Let's talk some baseball. Ladies and gentlemen, you may remember him as the author of this wonderful moment.
I'm laid back. Got my mind on my money and my money on my mind.
He's a nerd, but he knows hip-hop. Mark Borchard, ladies and gentlemen, base winner from an undisclosed location somewhere in the desert. How you doing, Mark?
Morning, Gil. You know, I was talking to my wife about that yesterday, and she's like, well, how'd they get your recording? And I guess you guys record before the show, because that happened before the show. Was it? You know, and I guess that's where he got it.
I don't know. Kev's always rolling tape. You never know about Kevy Kev.
Yeah.
Before we get into our little Q3 stuff, big baseball card today. What do you like?
Well, there's a couple of things I'd like here, and I'm gonna go with Philly and the Dodgers in a first five parlay, and you could get it at like plus 150 ish when they both win. You look at a couple of the high level numbers. Zach Wheeler, 28.2 strikeout percentage last 150. Good pitching plus as rated by Eno Saris, The Athletic. He's in the 99th percentile there. And then you go down to Bobby Miller. We're talking about stuff plus, pitching plus. He's got 99% stuff plus and 96 percentile pitching plus numbers. With, I think, versus their opponents, who I don't really rate that highly. I've got Hauser as the 133rd best pitcher out of 147 pitchers. And then Kikuchi had like a little bit better, 47th out of 150. But I think if you put it in the mixer, I think that those two players are good from a parlay standpoint. Then I'm just going to go to Colorado and bet the over. Hell yeah. These pitchers for me aren't very good. And you look at Block's numbers, he's got a 13.3 strikeout percentage last 150, stuff plus one percentile. And I think that the D-backs, at least offense, is quite capable. I have them ninth overall in baseball. Not too excited about either bullpen. So when it gets to that point, it's a big number. It's 12.5, but I have projected at 13.5. I think maybe some part of me subconsciously just want to sit down, watch the Diamondbacks game tonight and see runs.
Yeah. Okay. Over at Coors, the number is 12.5, not high enough per Mark Borchardt. And the parlay was a first five with the Dodgers and the Phillies. Was that right?
Yes.
All right. Dodgers, by the way, full game, 12-1 straight up in the month of August, just absolutely decimating all comers, Giants, Padres, D-backs. Man, that was a blink of an eye where that division went to crap. At one point, the Giants, there was one night where they got within 1.5 games. Now, boy, oh boy, I mean, it is donezo. 9-game lead over the Giants, 13-16 over the D-backs and the Padres, respectively, the last of whom, the Diamondbacks and the Padres, both sub-500 baseball teams at this point. But still, I guess,
ahead. The Giants have really had problems hitting over the last 30 days. I looked at something yesterday. They were like 29th in the league from an OPS standpoint, or weighted runs created standpoint, versus right-handed pitching over the last 30 days. So that's kind of drug them down. I still think that they're valuable to make the playoff skill. The market, DK, has them at minus 145. I still have them at minus 180, so yeah, there's value there.
I literally just the previous segment went through what are the best bets, you know, based on fan graphs and baseball reference projections, both in the win division markets and to make the playoffs. There was two in the division, which we just cited, which were the Rangers and the Cubs still represent some value. And then to make the playoffs, it was the Marlins to make it, the Cubs to make it, and the Giants, believe it or not, even though their schedule's brutal, and as you said, their offense is anemic. I've said this many times before, which is all the things we bet in sports, all the different sports, you know, bullpens kill you in baseball. Obviously, there's so many things happen in a football game. We can go on and on, but there's nothing quite as bad as backing an anemic offense in baseball, and the Giants are, you know, they really do. They've overperformed in such a way for much of this season, and they do come, you know, they do come up big on some nights where you're just like, wow, this team is so scrappy. But there's a big runway left, right? A quarter of the season, and you just wonder if they get home. But you agree with what I said in the first segment, which is by those numbers, they do represent value still to get into the postseason.
He hit a shot last night in the bottom of the, with the bases loaded in the bottom of the fifth. He just happened to hit it right at the left fielder, and that's baseball. But if that gets passed in the corner there, yeah, that's going to clear the bases. It's 5-4 versus Tyler Glass now. So yep. I think that there's capability there. They just haven't hit very good over the last 30 days, and then that'll probably change. But I do agree with the Cubs. I think that they're still tremendous value. And the other one was the Rangers division percentage. I've got them. I think that's value -253 to win the division. And I thought when I checked at it earlier this morning that would represent value.
Yeah. Too. So you're about all that. Okay. By the way, the Giants, just if you're scoring at home, the Giants right now occupying the number two wild card position, a half game ahead of the number three team, the Marlins, who themselves are then only a game ahead of the Cubs and the Reds. D-backs 3.5 back, Padres 6.5 back in the National League wild card race. So it is super precarious. The Giants, as we said, have a very difficult schedule. And this is, by the way, the time of the year. I don't really get into strength of schedule in baseball until around now because the baseball season is so long. I don't know how you feel about strength of schedule, Mark, but it's such a long season that, you know, you're going to win games you're supposed to lose. You're going to lose games you're supposed to win all the time. But once you get it down to about now, 40, 50 games, and now we're at right around the 40-game mark, then if it manifests how it's supposed to, there's no time to overcome it either way. So now is when I really start to decide. But I don't know that I make such a big deal about it before this time of year.
I think you have to break the schedule down in quarters, just if you're going to be betting season win totals and futures and stuff, because you can, you know, let's say the first quarter, a team has a really hard schedule and they look like crap, you know, from a wins loss standpoint, but you're like, hey, wait a second, these guys have played the most difficult schedule. And then that's something that you want to keep in the back of your mind, depending on your projections. Of course, I simulate every game, Gil. So the schedule for me kind of works itself out in the simulations when it gets to this time, which is very helpful for me because I don't have to go manually look at guys' schedules. It just goes into the projections when I run the simulations. So I'm happy I was able to build that, and it's certainly saved me a lot of time from a handicapping standpoint.
All right, we'll come back. We'll do the Q3 derivatives. We'll race through them. Teams, pitchers, five-inning bets, first-inning bets, umpires. We'll roll through it. Q3 Derivatives with Mark Borchardt on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Throughout the NFL preseason, the VSiN experts are busy evaluating every team to give you the betting edge. Our updated NFL betting guide, which is out already, will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with picks from every on-air host, team-specific preseason analysis, how to use VSiN betting splits, and football contest strategies. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 and reserve your copy of the guide or take advantage of our football season special. Get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. You got football fever yet, Wyatt? You entering any contests? Anything?
If we do something here at VSiN.
Oh man,
we did I did pretty decent last year.
You did? What'd you do?
I think I finished second or third.
In the VSiN contest.
Yeah,
oh,
I think okay. Jason Kahn was the
Jason Kahn, producer number seven, yes. Won it.
He won it, and he was very happy about that. He won. He wants to do the circuit one, and he texted me about a couple months ago. He's like, "Hey, you want to do the circuit mm-hmm. contest?" I'm like, "I don't got that type of money to spend off." He's like, "We can find other people." I'm like, "I'm good."
I'm debating how many survivors to get this year.
How many of you usually do?
I got five last year. Was total max of six. I got five. The max is 10 this year. So I don't know. Because I'm all, you know, on the one hand, I'm of the belief that extra entries is a overrated thing. I've said this many times because ultimately you only play one optimally. But it absolutely helps you those first few weeks of the season for real. And if you could, there's no question there's help to it because then it late if you're still alive. I mean, I have mixed feelings about it. Let's put it that way.
May I ask, what's the farthest you've made it in a Survivor contest?
Oh, was it 2 or 3 years ago where I made it all the way to that game where I had the Rams as a... I mean, I had, you know, like everybody says when they get knocked out of Survivor. Oh, I had it perfectly set up. I had the Rams as a 17-point favorite against the Jets. I believe it was a home game.
I know what the game you're talking about.
And the Jets beat them, yeah. So, if that can happen to you, you know, week to week, man. Eric Eager, kind enough to join us for a second segment here from Sumer Sports. Dr. Eric Eager, by the way. Real quick before we get to your best bets here, does week one of the preseason or anything preseason move your needle at all?
I think injuries obviously are big. We didn't get many this week, which was nice, especially for key contributors. The other one is like if a quarterback looks out of sorts, that is, to me, I'll like at least give some credence to that. Now, this week we were lucky. Richardson had a bad pick. Stroud had a bad pick. But for the most part, they looked like they belonged, at least. Like the game didn't look too fast for them. But that's another thing that I'll always look at is, you know, does a quarterback look like... Like Blake Bortles, preseason, his rookie year was just like, this guy can't throw, you know? And you're like, okay, I guess we're going to have to like not buy into the Jags this year. And that's just one like sticks in my head.
Yeah. Blake Bortles, who the Johnny Manziel documentary reminds us was the first quarterback taken the year that Manziel came out. Mm. I'm not sure if either was a rousing success, quite frankly. At least Bortles got them deep into the playoffs that one year, got to the AFC. Probably should have. Oh, they should have won that game.
I mean, he was a short ball away from making it to the Super Bowl.
Brutal for the Jaguars.
Yeah, he had 35 touchdowns or something in year two. It wasn't great. But, yeah, I mean, it was a mixed bag for him. But at least early, you just, like, looked at the arm slot and you looked at the kind of skittishness in the pocket. You're like, I don't know. You know, and Chad Henne, Chiefs legend, two-time Super Bowl champion, was starting over him. And And even then, like, they went to Bortles almost immediately, and Bortles was terrible as a rookie. So it was just, you knew that that Jacksonville team was not going to be particularly good.
Yeah. Well, at least he did something. Johnny Football, of course, didn't in the NFL. All right, real quick before, because I want to get to your other takes, but just to clarify the Green Bay take. So you do like a Green Bay bet, which is?
Yeah, I mean, I'll take Green Bay all the way down to 3-1 to win that division.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that would be my number. I'd take over the 7.5. Even juiced out to like -150, -160 or so. Like that's to me, I think, where I like Green Bay. I wrote this in a tweet the other day, which to me, it's like, I think that Jordan Love will color between the lines much better than Aaron Rodgers was an artist last year. Ooh. And Rodgers is maybe one of the best artists to ever play the game, but he kind of lost, you know, obviously. When that goes poorly for Green Bay, it goes really poorly. It gets Mike McCarthy fired. It gets, you know, it's what happened last year. And I think Jordan Love is maybe not as creative as Rodgers will be, but I think from a, like, he'll hit that back foot and trust the Matt LaFleur offense, which I think is a little bit underrated.
Excellent analogy on that. Okay, I like that. Color between the lines, better than Aaron Rodgers was an artist last year. The conventional wisdom has the Niners and the Eagles, not necessarily in that order. Let's say Eagles and Niners. But those two teams as the cream of the crop of the NFC. From a betting standpoint, you don't quite see it that way.
No, I think, you know, what really hurt the Cowboys last year, and I was very high on CeeDee Lamb, you know, for offensive player of the year and all the, in, you know, lead the league in receiving yards. And obviously those bets didn't work. All of his overs hit, but he was the only receiving option that they had. And, you know, I know that they lose Kellen Moore, but I'm coming around to this idea that Brandon Cooks is going to be kind of the guy that unleashed the offense. When you don't have a deep threat that is okay with kind of a 0-for-0 game, that's just, you know, run the defense off, make sure the safeties are occupied at all times, it really hurts your passing game. We saw Dalton Schultz. He was the franchise tag player for Dallas last year. He, you know, didn't have a great year because there was no openings in the middle of the field for him. I think Brandon Cooks is going to turn that offense around quite a bit. I think Pollard, you know, all the carries going to Pollard instead of Zeke. You have to see how he's going to work efficiency wise. But I really like the Cowboys, you know, as, you know, Cowboys and Detroit, for example. I think those are the two teams that if you're looking at, you know, Super Bowls out of the NFC, you know, Philadelphia, you know, is favored and they should be, but you're losing both coordinators. You're losing Javon Hargrave. You're losing Saamalu, the guard. You also have AJ Brown, who was very healthy last year. He's not been healthy all the time in his career. So I think I like the Eagles. I think they'll make the playoffs, but I think Dallas to win that division and Dallas to, you know, come out of the NFC is a good play. And I also think that about Detroit. Like, I'm not going to bet Detroit anything kind of -110. So their win total, or even something like minus, you know, +150, like the division odds ish number there. But I will take them on long shots. I think that, you know, Detroit, if everything comes together, it can be very Philadelphia Eagles-like, where you're great on both offensive lines. The quarterback has a great play caller. Ben Johnson stays. And, you know, you work off of that. And that has some really, you know, fat tail elements to it in the NFC where, you know, if we're not right about the Packers and if the Vikings regress and the Bears don't emerge to who they're supposed to be, they could run away with that division. And, you know, if you run away with the division in the NFC, you could run away with the entire conference, given how mucky it is.
Yeah. Oh, boy. I do not want to live through a season where the Cowboys are that successful. That's for sure. So you have them both as NFC bets, a path for them to do very well in conference. I noticed that you did not say it to win the Super Bowl, however. What is your big take on that?
Yeah, I mean, for the Super Bowl, I look at Buffalo and I think to myself, are we just all overlooking Buffalo? Now, there have been some perturbations. You've had injuries to Von Miller. You have, you know, Leslie Frazier, who's been fantastic. You know, he retires for a year at least, and they go with McDermott calling the plays. That might hurt him. McDermott's a top five coach in the NFL in terms of in-game decision making. But this to me reminds me of the Colts, you know, of the mid-2000s, where, you know, they go to New England two straight years. It's snowy. They lose to the Patriots. And then they lost at home to that Steelers team that was a sixth seed. Big Ben makes a huge tackle on the Bettis fumble. And everybody's like, oh, you know, the Colts just are a team that can't get over the hump. And I think Buffalo, obviously, of the 13-second game, you have the snow in their home park. But, you know, Cincinnati much more accustomed to it or better for it. And this is the team that's been the best team in the NFL the last 2 years. If you look at power ratings, you look at everything. The Bills were the best team in the league in 2021. They're the best team in the league last year, is until Von Miller got hurt, at least. And everybody's kind of disregarding them a little bit in the minds of many. At 9-1, to me, this is a really good play. And I think Buffalo, they're coming out of a hard division with the Jets and the Dolphins and the Patriots all being strong contenders. I'm a big fan of Buffalo this year to go all the way and surprise some people in the way that the Colts did kind of in the middle of the last two decades ago.
Yeah, it's a good comp because it's Kansas City and Cincinnati in most people's minds and certainly in the betting market as well out of the AFC. And the proverbial window does appear to be shutting. And maybe after this year it will shut some more. But yes, it's an interesting take on the Bills. We've had a wide opinion on them too. I think Mike Pritchard's hot take was he didn't think the Bills were going to be very good this year, right? Like, so, or as good as expected. So it's all over the place on that. Real quick before I let you go, because this has come up on the show, so I just wanted to throw it out at you, because you mentioned that you thought the Rams were going to be pretty defined this year as not so great. I'm paraphrasing. There's a couple people who made Stetson Bennett offensive rookie of the year plays in triple digits. 200 plus to one, and then 150-1, I believe. There's a path, do you think? If the Rams,
if Stafford is the one of the three superstars on that team that gets hurt, and he can funnel 150 targets, to Cooper Kupp, 200 targets to Cooper Kupp, yeah, he could look good. He looked good the other day.
What about besides hurt? What about, we're just not going to be very good this year. We're going to sit Matthew Stafford.
Could be. I mean, that's why it's 100. It's more than 100-1. Yeah. Because the path is very thin. But if it happens, he's a quarterback. So he's certainly.
He's a quarterback. That's the whole point of the conversation. He's a quarterback. Eric, great talking to you, man. Great seeing you. Appreciate it.
Of course, this has been fun.
Eric Eager, Dr. Eric Eager from Sumer Sports, host of the Sumer Sports Show. My Mishpucha, Chrissy Andrews, next right here on A Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Power ratings, picks, previews, predictions, pro, as in become a VSiN Pro subscriber. Get an all access pass to our betting tools, betting splits, and the 2023 college football and NFL betting guides. Both the college football guide and our NFL betting guide will have you ready to turn a profit on the gridiron this year. The only way to get the guides and everything we have to offer is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber, and you can do exactly that at VSiN.com/subscribe. It's Gil Alexander. It's A Numbers Game from the South Point. Ladies and gentlemen, now it's time for Kicking It with Chrissy.
Can I kick it? Yes.
Chris Andrews, ladies and gentlemen.
Can I kick it? Kick it!
South. You did not endorse it.
No.
Well, they don't ask you for editorial advice.
Really?
Nor with any of mine, by the way, do they ask me. I just throw it up there. You seen the intro of me where I look like I have to go to the restroom? Like an invitation to go to the restroom?
I did mention that. And they said, well, it was a little tough because, it's just you swaying around,
Yeah.
It wasn't trying to. It was made with love.
I'm sure it was. As long as it's made with love,
That's what counts.
That is the voice of Chris Andrews, ladies and gentlemen. He runs the South Point Hotel Casino Sportsbook here, where we broadcast from here on the tip of the strip in Las Vegas. How are you, sir,
I'm doing good. Good, thank you.
Before we get into any of your college football stuff, let's talk about your Uncle Jackie's, Jackie Gaughan. Your Uncle Jack's induction into the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame at Bet Bash 3, where your cousin Zach inducted him, and you announced it on this show some months ago.
Well, even at the ceremony, I introduced my Uncle Jack, and then my cousin Zach accepted it for him.
Gotcha. Yeah. I heard it was just the most awesome thing in the world, the whole event.
The whole event. And I've talked to Spanky a couple times since then. I said, this had all the makings of a disaster. You know what I mean? It just so many moving parts and everything else.
Yep.
It wound up great. It really did. And I had to call him and compliment him the next day. Everything was terrific. The whole event.
I said the other day, I'm like, let's say you concocted this and you're like, okay, let's say in your mind, you were like, you wanted to do this event, there are panels, there's a Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. You want to do all these different things. And you were like, okay, who could pull this off? Is he kind of the only guy that could probably, that he has enough gravitas to pull it off in all directions?
That's the gravitas. That's for sure. So that he may be the only one to be able to pull off that. But Spanky is really smart.
Oh,
and,
huge.
You know, sometimes he has like that New Jersey kind of accent and stuff. You start talking to him, he is really, really a bright
1,000%. Guy. 1,000%. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, you know, there's some other really smart guys in our business. You know, Jack Andrews, you know.
Captain Jack is great.
Yeah, he's great. Rufus is really smart. Yeah. I don't think Rufus would have the personality to pick up to do something like this.
Sorry, Rufus.
I was being nice.
Yeah. Sorry, Rufus. Apologize.
But there's a lot of really smart guys that I don't think just would have everything that it would take to put this all together.
Yeah, Captain Jack's a good call. He's also a
Captain Jack guy, would probably be my second choice.
Was Zach super touched?
Oh, yeah. I think he was got a little choked up, maybe, excepting for his dad. Yeah.
How about Roxy?
Roxy.
Or was Roxy just being Roxy?
Roxy had a few cocktails by the time he came out.
No.
And Vic introduced Roxy. He had a few cocktails as well. So it was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was a great event again. And, you know, we've spoken a lot about it. But Bet Bash 4 next year. Recommended.
I got to tell you, so I talked to Zach beforehand, and I said, Zach, here's what I want to do, because I don't know if I said on this. Let me just very briefly say, you know, in case anybody didn't know or wasn't there, I want to talk very touchingly about my Uncle Jack. You know, when this was 1970, that's when Jack got indicted, and I've told the story about the FBI agent who wound up betting Jack's games and all that stuff, you know. So that, you know, everybody kind of liked that. But the point was, at that period of time in our house, and we just had a 4-bedroom, 2-bath house. It was Jack, his 3 kids, my mother, my father, and my grandmother, all living in one house. Like I said, we're a big Greek family. We just thought it was normal. You know, who knows what the neighbors thought. That same year, my father passed away. So we went from 2 fathers to none. And Jack, you know, after he got indicted, beat the indictment, came out to Vegas. He was going to establish himself out here.
Yeah.
But what I said about Jack, and it was one of those things where Zach and I talked about it years later, you just kind of take it for granted. But Jack was flying back and forth, being a father to us, providing for us, and coming back out to Las Vegas and doing his thing out here. I mean, I was going to say, about 42 years old at the time. He was still, like, establishing himself. But what he did was just incredible.
It is incredible.
And like I said, it was...
How old was he at that? 42?
He was, because I was 14. He's 28 years older than me, so yeah. He was 42. So he was... You know, like I said, just establishing himself.
So young enough where if he was a little less mature, it could have gone a different way.
There's a million ways it could have gone a different way. Yeah. You know, but he did that. And when I made my speech, I was talking to Vinny. I gave Vinny my speech. I said, I got to cut this down. I had 2 funny stories about Jack that I had to eliminate. One is when I got picked up by the police one time, and they said, all right, we got to call your father. I said, well, my father died. Well, who else is in your house? I had to call my Uncle Jack. Had to come down to the police station and pick me up. Nah, that was a lot of fun. And the other one that, again, I had to eliminate, I was a little older. I got a new Monte Carlo, and I had it for about 4 or 5 days, and I totaled it.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah, I'll tell you more about that someday.
Yeah.
Really stupid. Jack flew me out to, I'm in Pittsburgh. He flew me out to Las Vegas, had me take a cab to meet him for lunch. He fed me, screamed at me, and sent me home on the next plane home.
Wow. I do remember that story.
I flew you out,
screamed at you, sent you back.
Yeah, and who did he scream at me in front of? Oh, let's see, Bob Martin, Jackie Gaughan, Billy Baxter was probably, they're always cronies, you know. Set me back on the next flight.
But that is, I guess I didn't realize that you went from, in effect, from 2 to 0 at the same time.
Yeah, right, within a few months. Yeah.
By the way, we're referring to Jack Franzi. We should probably put
Jack Franzi, right.
Yeah,
Jack.
Your Uncle Jack.
But the story I says, I'm not going to tell you this story. And I told, which I told on the air, it might have been last week. When Jack middled us and passed posted me. As soon as I started telling that story, I could hear Zach start laughing.
Yeah.
Because I didn't tell him I was going to tell that story. That actually got a really big hand.
You told that story here on A Numbers Game when you announced that he was going to be inducted.
Yeah, that was, and we got a couple minutes. I'll just go over in case anybody didn't know. Yeah, it was very, I'll try to give you the abbreviated version. Zach and I used to watch these games on Tuesday night. It was on the local PBS channel, and it was always some obscure game. That's why I wore Bucknell, because this involved two teams from the Patriot League. It was Lehigh and Lafayette, and I liked the favorite. I remember Lehigh, and Zach liked the dog. So Jack corralled us at different times. He got me to lay 21.5 on the game, and Zach to lay Zach to take 20.5 on the game. We didn't realize these games were being taped. And, you know, then there was a splice in the tape, which never happened. And we looked at each other. What did you take on the game? I took 20.5. Why? What'd you lay? I laid 21.5. Your dad middled us. You know? And then one thing that got a big laugh, I said, by the way, we were 10 years old. We already knew what middling was. And so.
And he made you pay.
He made us pay. And like when we went to pay, we each gave him our dollar. It was a dollar bet. He goes, nah. When did you two start betting even money? It's 11 to 10. You each owe me another dime. Go upstairs and get it.
Well, life's lesson.
But we did. We learned a lesson.
You were so smarter for it.
But it was just funny because as soon as I started telling the story, I could hear Zach off in the distance start laughing. He knew where I was going with this one.
That's phenomenal. So I never heard that you had totaled the Monte Carlo. So,
oh, yeah, that was a new one. Yeah.
So this is another part of your car history. Again, for those who are beating the book listeners from many years ago or who read Then One Day.
Yeah.
They will remember your famous orange Electra.
My orange Electra. I didn't wreck that one, fortunately.
the Buick orange Electra.
Buick orange Electra.
Yeah. Which, by the way, you can Google, and you just can't. I can't find the exact color.
I can't find the exact color. Yeah. Just think of like kind of like that Tennessee orange, maybe.
Yeah.
Very just a bright one. If you're driving down the street, you couldn't miss it.
What summer was that? Early 70s, late 60s?
Yeah, it was early 70s.
So what was that story?
I think it was 73.
Jack said, hey, you get the orange Electra, you can take it to Vegas.
No.
Oh.
We were in Vegas.
Okay.
Jack flew us out.
Right.
Sonny Vaccaro called me and said, hey, you guys don't have a car. Here, I got one for you. And like I said, if you know Sonny, he's a lot like Jimmy. Those kind of things mean, it'd be like him handing you a dollar so you can get a Coke.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Out of the machine.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean anything to him. Here you go. Here's George Gervin's car. You can have it.
How old are you now?
17.
Riding around an orange Buick Electra.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then
Tark. Now this is Tark's first year. He calls me up. Hey, kid. Are you Jack's kid? Yeah. Sonny told me to call you. We need the car. Shoot.
And who ended up driving it the rest of the summer?
I don't want to say. You know, Sonny asked me not to repeat his name.
Oh, okay.
So I won't repeat.
Didn't we say his name before?
We did. Okay. Sonny asked me not to say it again. So go check the tapes.
Let me just ask you this. Could he do a finger roll?
Oh, no. It was George Gervin, the car.
Oh, right.
The guy I gave it to.
Oh, it was different.
Played in the
okay.
NBA.
Okay.
Played in the NBA. Just,
we'll keep that to ourselves for now. The life of Chrissy Andrews. Uncle Jack Franzi into the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. College football. Numbers next.